original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean and a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Good morning, Bucknutters. It is Tuesday, December 24th, 2019. I am Dan Rubin. This is the Bucknuts Morning 5 and Change. Joined, as always, on Tuesdays by Dwayne Long from the capital city of Columbus. Dwayne, we always talk about the weather. It is foggy with the sun shining through. Very first time I've ever seen this, but it's Ohio in December. How goes it in Columbus?
The same way. It's kind of odd looking out there. I mean, and it's a heavy fog, and the sun's out. And it's like, what in the world? Make up your mind. You know, it's very odd looking. Fog is both cool and eerie. And that's what we got out there this morning.
Rested, relaxed, and ready to spend some time with their family and just not working and hanging out and talking about the Buckeyes this morning. Apparently, there's a big game on the horizon. Ohio State is in Arizona. They will take on Clemson this weekend in the national championship semifinals. What is your biggest concern with Clemson?
Trevor Lawrence says, I haven't watched them for a while. But Trevor Lawrence, everything you look at, he's really rounded into the same form that puts them in the seat as defending champions. And that he is, Trevor Lawrence at the top of his game, is a generational quarterback. I mean, the kid's big. He can throw it accurately. He can put it anywhere on the field. And he's mobile. I mean, he really is Aaron Rodgers' clone. He has that potential when you watch this kid play the game. And he's got some really good receivers to throw the ball to. And regardless of size, they're going to, you know, we've got our 6 foot corner is our short guy, you know, so we've got our work cut out for us with this offense that's going to be in front of them. And they are statistically the number one defense in the country now, where we fall to number four. So, I mean, we had tougher games. But my concern is that they do have some weapons and they do have some defense. So, in my opinion, what's going to happen here is going to determine the national champion. LSU does not have enough defense. Oklahoma does not have enough defense. Those teams are going to go at each other. They're going to put up a basketball score, and then they're going to run into Ohio State or Clemson and get shut down.
Clemson is a prohibitive favorite. I don't care if it's 2.5 points in Vegas. The national vibe is that Clemson is going to kick Ohio State's ass. I would like to read for you the last 6 wins for Clemson. Boston College, Wofford, NC State, Wake Forest, South Carolina, and UVA. None of those schools would beat Penn State. None would beat Michigan. None would beat Wisconsin. I get that Clemson has been cruising, and there's no question their talent level is, you know, beyond reproach. Is it possible, though, they've been overrated by the fact that they've just had an easier schedule down the stretch than Ohio State?
That's why I say Ohio State's going to win this game. Who have they beat? Ohio State has beaten Michigan, Penn State, and Wisconsin twice at the time where Clemson was whipping up on Wofford. I just don't, you know, you can run up a big record against teams that you are supposed to beat. That, I mean, which one of those was even supposed to throw a challenge down to Clemson? Just based on talent, look at those guys. There's nobody in there. And that's why I think that Ohio State is going to win this game. When it comes down to who you beat, it matters. It matters a great deal. And Ohio State, just the second half of the schedule was just, littered with war zones. And Ohio State still ran through them. You know, Penn State gave us hell. Wisconsin the second time around, I mean, it was a comeback win. Those are good football teams, people. What are they thinking? Penn State should be in the top 10. I don't know if they are, have been paying much attention since the playoffs started or since the playoffs were announced. That's a very good football team. Wisconsin is a very good football team. So it comes back to, okay, you won. Well, so did we. Who did you beat? Here's our list. That's no comparison.
Yeah, I think Clemson knows this, by the way. If you look through their schedule, it may be the worst schedule ever. I'm not saying that to be hyperbolic. They didn't play a good team. Texas A&M is their calling card, and that was basically last season. It was so long ago. And they did not play another good team.
I get why Dabo Swinney has made such a big deal out of everything, because he knows that. And he's taken the spotlight off the actual schedule and put it on himself, touting them and stuff, because that really is, if you look at it, the worst schedule I've ever seen. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break, be back, break down some individual matchups.
I'm Mark Chapman. Welcome to the Planet Premier League podcast. Each week, Cesc Fabregas, Nader Manua, and myself talk all things Premier League.
As a player, you don't have time to talk. No. You don't have time to make a plan. You just need to deal with wave after wave after wave.
We watched Coach Carter, and he said, afterwards, the game's just about doing this for your teammates. And I remember looking around halfway through the film, and half the squad was asleep.
Planet Premier League. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, Dwayne. One of the guys on Ohio State who's completely redone his image is Damon Arnette. He's gone from being a guy I think was relatively vilified to now one who's being talked about being a possible late first round draft pick. He is going to be on target this weekend, though. Would you go after Sean Wade, Jeffrey Okuda, or Damon Arnette? To me, this game is going to be a referendum on Damon Arnette and whether he can handle single coverage against their studs. Do you think he will hold up?
I mean, he has so far. He's. It's not like that. We haven't played any tough receivers. The kid is just, in all the time I've been watching Ohio State football, I don't know if I've seen a kid turn himself around in a year's time like Damon Arnette. Last year, they were talking about him going pro, and it brought a smile to my face. I said, for two reasons. One, I couldn't believe it, and two, I was like, yeah, please, move on. We need to get somebody else in there. And look at the season this guy's put together. If not for Okuda on the other side, who teams don't really like going at, it's a bad idea, he would be talked about. We would be saying, man, we got Arnette. We got one side of the field taken care of. That's just, he's done it before. I think he'll do it again. I think we're going to have something built in to the scheme for this game where we're ready to help him, because we are not going to worry much about Okuda. We're going to try to keep Okuda on their toughest guy, their biggest guy there,
Higgins.
T-something. T. Higgins, okay, yeah, they're probably going to look to, if I was looking at it, I would say, okay, I'm going to leave Okuda on the island because I believe he will dominate that island. I will shift my safeties, watch that side of the field for Arnette. It's not because Arnette's not that good, it's just because their receiver is the other guy. Anyway, that's how I would have it stacked in that direction, where we could always help him. Maybe the linebacker kicks out and helps in the underneath zone on that side of the field, and so they're not going to be running quick slants on him. I hope his hand is healthy, for one thing, his hand or his wrist, which is doesn't have a cast on, because that, people talk about interceptions, getting your hands on the ball. I think about tackling when you don't have your hand to, really put a good wrap on a guy. I don't want any slants. Slants, you got to get a guy on the ground quickly, or He's going to house it. So, you know, I'd have a linebacker ready to drop back into the underneath zone real quick, just a few quick steps so they can't throw that. Just give him a little bit of help. He doesn't need a lot.
As Bucknutters gather around the set, or hopefully at the game Saturday night, early on, what do you think would be some serious signs that things are going well or things are going poorly? How do you think Ohio State needs to approach it from a schematic perspective?
Well, what I would really like to do, and it's something Ryan Day has shown a tendency to do, is come out and punch him in the mouth. On offense, come out and punch him in the mouth. We run the ball straight up the gut. Dobbins has just been a joy to watch this year. Teague would be a starter just about anywhere else in the country, and just come out and run right at these guys who are not used to being run at. They're not used to being on roller skates with something as large as Myers and Davis pushing them down the field. And those guys will. They could dominate the line of scrimmage like that. That's the first thing I would do. Mix in a few passes. I'm a real big fan of first down passes. Ryan Day is apparently not a big fan of them. We've hurt teams with first down passing because they have to play the run. We are just such dominant up front, especially between the tackles. We'll push you around. So you've got to be prepared for that. Linebacker's got to be thinking about first step is forward. So throw a few balls down, you know, throw a few slants ourselves. I think coming out early and letting them know, okay, we're not Wofford. That, I think, is going to be very important, getting their heads a little bit that you're gonna see a different level of football here. That's what I do on offense. On defense, you got to get to Lawrence. You can't let the kid stand back there and throw the ball. He will hurt you. He will find somebody. And he's mobile. So you want everyone that's rushing to stay in their passing lane, stay in their lanes, their rush lanes, so he doesn't get out and take off. And I blitz him a little bit just early on. Just throw a few guys at him. See, he's going to say, "Wait a minute, what's going on here?" That's what we want. We want Lawrence not real secure in a situation, looking around, talking to coaches, and trying to figure out what's going on. That's how I would attack him, and maybe then back off of him. You know, mix it up. Don't let him get settled.
All right, Dwayne. Ohio State versus Clemson this weekend for a right to play for the national championship. Give me a final score.
34-24 Buckeyes. They're going to score some points. They're too many weapons. We're going to win this football game. They are not used to playing this to this level, Dan. They're not used to what they're going to see with Ohio State. Even more All-Americans, guys top five in their position coming out of high school than Clemson has. Yeah, we're going to beat Clemson. And the winner, which is going to be us, will win the national championship. LSU and Oklahoma cannot put defenses on the field. They can stop either one of these offenses.
There you have it, people. Enjoy that game, Bucknutters. Dwayne has made his point. Buckeyes, 34-24. Have a good one.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.